Hey, listener, Zach Harper here. Underdog Fantasy, the easiest place to play fantasy sports. Also, fastest growing fantasy app in the industry. Here's how it works. The Pick'em game. Pick whether your favorite players will have a higher or lower stat total in this week's game for a chance to win big. How big, you ask? I'm so glad you asked that question, listener. You can win up to 100 times your money in a single night. Pick between 2 and 5 players, build a pick'em entry. You can also do rivals picks. You can put like Tyrese Halliburton and Jalen Brunson against each other, and whoever has more points, more assists, more rebounds, whatever you want to do, that is your rivals pick. I would maybe go with Jalen Brunson in these playoffs. By the way, in the regular season, Jalen Brunson, scoring tear, going higher on his point totals all the time. Joel Embiid, whenever he did actually play, higher on his scoring totals all the time. Victor Wembanyama, for the next 15, 20 years, here's a pro tip for you, take higher on the blocks. That's right. So you're probably wondering, how do you sign up? Oh my God, listener, you are full of good questions today. Sign up with the promo code DING, that's D-I-N-G, to claim your special pick first-time deposit offer up to $250 in bonus cash. $250, man, that's a lot. Visit underdogfantasy.com or find them in the App Store. And don't forget to register with our code DING, D-I-N-G, to claim your special pick and first-time deposit offer up to $250 in bonus cash. Must be 18 or older, 21 or older in Massachusetts, Arizona, 19 or older in Alabama and Nebraska, and present in a state where Underdog Fantasy operates. Terms apply. Concerned with your play, call 1-800-GAMBLER or visit www.ncpgambling.org. Arizona 1-800-NEXT-STEP. That's 1-800-639-8783. Or text NEXT STEP to 53342. New York, call the 24/7 HOPE line at 1-877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY 467-369.
What's good, y'all? I'm Manny Fresh, and I'm this week's guest on the Kicks and Shit Show.
What's good, everybody? We are back. It is your boy Gerard and your girl Gabby. Episode 88 of the Kicks and Shit Show. Yeah, nothing, right? Nothing. There's no air horn, no none of that. I mean, well,
I don't think we can go back anymore, Jay. I'm just going to say that. I feel like we're on a new territory, a new era. We are in year 2.
Could be. It's also, you know, and not to you know, bring the whole mood down, I also feel like an air horn is not exactly appropriate given what's going on in the world right now. So, you know, no need to be out here blowing air horns, but you know, I mean, the world's, you know, going crazy as per usual. Jesus. Wow. But here we are.
Blowing anything, Gerard, right now. That is the rule in the streets.
What? What's the rule in the streets?
Blowing anything.
Right. Nothing. Literally nothing. Nothing. How are you doing? Where in the world are you this week?
Well, Gerard, today is a very interesting day because your girl is back in New York, back in the office. Let me tell you, I forgot how much commuting is terrible. Awful. I highly don't recommend it. I'm starting to get settled in the new spot. But I will say, as much as I love my new spot, mm-hmm. where I'm at and the commuting,
mm-hmm. and problematic.
New York is bananas. So I was like thinking of driving in earlier today, and it was going to be $62 to park my car for the day, Jay.
I mean,
I could Uber to and from Jersey, and it would be cheaper than it would cost me to park my car. Like, fuck that shit.
So where you are you closer to the ferry or?
My apartment's close to the ferry. Okay. My office is close to the Holland. And that's about all the personal information y'all are going to get today.
Well, but you could take the ferry and take the downtown bus when you get off, right? The downtown ferry bus.
Yeah, I mean, I just have never taken it. So to explore when it's like last minute, come in today.
It's a little much. Okay. Talk to me offline. I'll show you how. It's real easy, real simple.
I was going to say, sorry, guys, we're not getting that person tonight.
And it won't cost you $62, which is ridiculous. Let's
come on. Yeah.
Well, and that's not counting toll, whatever the toll cost to get across. I don't even know what it is.
That's like at least 2 sushi dinners and like a pair of beaters. You know what I'm saying? I feel like that's how I got to think of things. Like that's an Adidas superstar right there that has my name on it.
Yeah, oh no, that's – what did you wear on your feet today in the office? I mean, you know, you're rolling in, so you had a –
I was going to say, I'm still kind of organizing my sneaker closet. Mm-hmm. I did I did sneaker Sundays with our girl Bianca, which was super fun. And I was like, I want to film in front of my sneakers. We talked the other week about how great her setup is. Mm-hmm. I'm like, I like mine, but it's like a little bit of organized chaos. So I unpacked all of my sneakers, put them in a line, had my little ring light set up while I'm waiting on the shelves. So I was like, you know what? I don't want to mess this up because it looks super beautiful. And I also think, like, you know, in the way that a lot of women don't wear their heels walking through the city, I'm not going to walk through the city in some hype shoes. Like, fuck that. I like my sneakers too much.
See?
I'm not saying I'm not going to wear them, though, Jay. Like, that is the difference.
I didn't say I don't wear them. I just don't wear them in inclement weather. That's all.
But so today I just reach for, like, I always think of Ben when it's like, what's by the door that you're going to go to grab? Mm-hmm. And I was like, you know what? I'm going to rock my company sweatshirt with some just black jeans. I haven't even worn real pants in a long time. I got my socks from Nigel Sylvester on. And I just
Get to the kicks, please.
Classic dunks.
All right.
I'm high. That's
she,
it.
She out here giving us the whole time. We just want to know what's on the
fit. I got to give the people what they want, right? I got to plug Nigel for sending me some socks so that I can rock my sock game with this.
Nigel, hit your boy up with some socks, please. Actually, no, Nigel, you know what I need? I need Oakley's, my guy. Let's talk about that offline.
Dream big, Jay. Dream big. I appreciate it. What's going on in your streets, Jay? How's it going?
Oh, you know, we're just NBA season's about to kick back up after All-Star break. You know, everyone loves to say, oh, second half of the season. No, friends. Last quarter of the season. We got like 23 games left, and it's playoffs.
People forget about that. It's not midway point.
It is not. All. It is like the two. It's like the 75% point, right? Like, we got a quarter of the season left, a little bit less than that. So it's sprint to the finish. So, you know, getting ready for that. I'm still trying to figure it out. Want to do a story on the Memphis Grizzlies, so I may spend some time in Memphis next month with one of the hot young teams in the league. But, you know, otherwise, just, you know, doing the whole New York City thing, making sure the winter thawing, you know, so we can head towards spring. We got a little while to go. I have a feeling not till, like, April we're going to start seeing some, like, you know, decent weather. I feel like March is going to be not great. Just my own observation.
I agree. I feel like we have that one weekend that is freakishly beautiful, and then all of a sudden it, like, snows 2 weeks
later. Everybody loses their mind. Yeah, it's like, oh, my God. And then it's like, yeah, that was just a tease.
I'm spending so much time in Cali, so I feel you on that one.
Well, did you locate our office space yet for our West Coast studios?
Not yet. These feet are still in the streets. I did bring these dunks, though, to Jason Mark to get them cleaned. Mm. I will say, like, I was like, you know, it's my first time here. I want to get the works. I'm very fortunate that whenever I go to LA, it's like down the street, which is amazing. And you know what? They did like a lace cleaning, sole cleaning.
Nice. I like it.
A new facelift, because, you know, I've been wearing these dunks out in the streets for most of my travels the past 6 months. And I think, you know, there's something, we always talk about wearing your kicks, but there is something about the look of wearing them. I know everyone's all concerned about creasing them, but, like, crease your kicks, fam. It's okay.
It's fine.
And also, there's tons of great tips on TikTok and Instagram on how to iron out that crease if you really need. But, like, I don't know. I'm all about it.
I love it. You know, and it's funny you mention that, because our guest coming up next will definitely talk to you all about, he's a sneaker reseller. You know, we've had our thoughts about resellers on this show. But, you know, I think this is an interesting conversation with someone, will be anyway, about, you know, shoes in the resale market, and you mentioned creasing up your kicks and all that sort of thing. There are certain pairs of sneakers that look really good when they have that worn-in look. Anyway, folks, stay tuned, because special guest coming up next. What's good, y'all? We are back. Gab, we're not alone. We are joined by, I don't know what you want to call him, Manuel Cordova. That's his government name.
That's my government.
I mean, you want to call him Manny. You want to call him, what else? Manny Fresh. He's got a lot of names. What should we call you?
You can call me Manny Fresh, or Instagram tag, my what people know me as in the sneaker world. Yeah.
This is the man out in the sneaker world who has, you know, he's done some stuff in the resale market. If you're really out there trying to locate some kicks, we're getting a theme going on here, guys. You noticed that, right? People who can help you find shoes, right? This is kind of a theme that we have going on here. Another guest who's out here who can help you find shoes. Manny, what's up, man? Thanks for being on the show.
Appreciate being here, guys.
Of course. So I got to start here. Like, I start with everybody. When did you fall in love with sneakers?
Well, all right. So the first pair of Jordans I ever received were, I was like 9 years old or 10, I believe. My dad brought home the Olympic pack, the sevens.
Okay.
The 23 in the back, 9 in the back. That was the first pair of Jordans I ever had. And I was like, oh, my God, these are... Those are amazing. I just dated myself, by the way. Like, okay. Super old. Yeah. But that was like the first pair I really fell in love with. And after that, it was like, he couldn't really afford to buy stuff like that. So whatever, I went through high school and not really buying Jordans. And then I started dating this girl when I was 18 from the Heights. She was, you know, like all into the fashion, sneakers and Jordans, and started buying me Jordans. And I just fell in love with them. It was just like Columbia 4s, the white and red 17s with the briefcase.
Okay, Gabby has some thoughts. I'm going to say, you're probably like, behind every man is a great woman is what you want to say, well, right?
I'm not with her anymore.
Big tax grab, but that's actually not what I was going to say. I feel like we're like off our groove. But I was going to say, were you in love with the shoes or were you in love with her? That's what I really want to know.
So it was both. It was both, okay. You know? Like I dove into it because she was really into it.
Love that.
So I was like, all right, cool. And then I just started really falling in love with the shoes. And then it was just like, wow, okay. It was an expensive habit at the age of 18, 19. I was working and every check went to shoes. And do you remember back then, you know, we had the sweatsuits, the Anichi, the Sean Johns, mm-hmm. all that to go with any shoe that we purchased. It was crazy. But that's kind of where it started. And then like, it stopped for a while. And then I was always into Jordans. Mm-hmm. And then I used to work for FedEx, and I had a friend of mine who started his own like sneaker company, like a wholesale business mm-hmm. overseas, and he wanted me to help him out with shipping, you know, to cut back on shipping costs, whatever. So the deal we had was like I'd help him ship some stuff, and he'd give me shoes. So I got Shadow Ones, I got Olive Nines that I still have that are still like in pristine condition that everyone nice. Like they just laud over every time they see me. They're like, oh my God, these are like those are so clean. How do you still have them like that? I'm like, I don't wear them that much and I take care of them. But so long story short, we went through that process and I ended up losing my job because of it. Because it was like on some like I couldn't really help with the shipping. It was like because it was for business and stuff. So mm-hmm. and that's kind of like where my sneaker reselling started. So if you want me to go into that, I can.
So you out here. I mean, it's fine now because you obviously you're cool with it. You know, you out here yeah. on the FedEx dime. Like, let me go ahead and help my boy out and start shipping things. FedEx called you up and were like, Manny, my guy.
Yeah. I was using my discount. Yeah, I had a discount. So it was a good discount. You know what I'm saying? I was helping. I thought I wasn't doing anything wrong, really, you know, but it was all black and white. And they were like, you can't do that. And I lost my job. And he felt terrible. And then he was like, all right, well, you know, maybe I could furnish some shoes so you could make some money while you look for work. And that's kind of how the whole thing started.
I love that.
So you So you lose the job. Your friend fronts you some shoes, like help you sell. That's how you got into resale. So what year is this when you got into it?
This is 2014.
Okay.
2014.
Early adult. I like it.
Yeah, the first release I did was Concord Lows, and also white and pink, white infrared sixes, the white ones. Okay. That's around that time where I kind of started, and he was head cracking me, man. Like the prices were so bad for me to even make any money. Mm-hmm. I was just basically just selling the shoes just to like get my money back and like kind of get my name out there type stuff, you know?
Okay.
Yeah, but that's how it kind of. Then like I just stopped really dealing with him because the prices were too much, and I just started meeting other people. You know, I had a guy in Michigan that was supplying me shoes who ended up scamming me.
Mm.
Yeah, and I lost a couple of grand with Legend Blue 11s. He scammed me. I was like, I was down and out. I was like, oh man, this is not good. And then the same guy who I started with, that he gave me 40 pairs of Legend Blue 11s on the arm. Take care of that. Do what you can do. Pay me back when you're done. And that just like... That shoe really did really well.
Okay.
So that's where it kind of like got me started with the capital and stuff. And then from there, it was just learning the ropes.
So, I mean, so you had some setbacks, right? First is the FedEx thing.
Hello?
You got scammed, right? I mean, there are a couple things to really, you know, make you quit and be like, forget this. I'm out. And like, let me go try something else. But you hung with it. Like, so,
yeah,
you know, yeah, now yeah, that you're a veteran, right, in the business, I imagine it's about the relationships you've built, right? So talk through that process and that piece of it, right, where it's like just some random you meet. Man, you got to make sure you know who it is you're dealing with and who you're talking to.
So that first year, right, one of my coworkers I used to work, like my old coworker, his brother was also into reselling. So he connected us. He's like, oh, my brother's in Yonkers. You know, you're in the Bronx. Link up with him and see what's up. You know, maybe you guys can do some business. So he kind of guided me and took me under his wing and showed me the ropes, you know, like going to different stores, talking to managers, you know, just chopping it up. and like just getting in into like into different stores to just get shoes for retail or close to it, you know, throw them a little 20 here, 30 here for shoes. So like I kind of used that, and it just I made relationships. I met this one kid who ended up holding me down a few times in a small store. Then he got transferred to the big store. Like I'm talking about one of the biggest stores in the city. And after that, it was over. I was like, I'm never waiting on a line again. Like it was I skipped this whole process. A lot of my friends, they resell and they camp, they do the overnight thing. And I started doing that a little bit. I would go to 34th Street with like five or six people, wait overnight, go in the store, get back online, you know, whatever, mm-hmm. buy tickets from the security, mm-hmm. You know, loop it back and forth. And then once he got transferred there, that stuff stopped. I was like, you know what? I don't got to do this no more. Okay. You know, sit in your car and wait till I call you to tell your guys to come in. It was crazy. Like, and people hate that aspect of reselling. Like if, you know, you're a genuine collector or like you just want to buy it for yourself and you know, like the, you know, the term is back door.
Mm-hmm,
yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, but through the front door. That's how it was. It was
the front door.
Yeah,
front door,
yeah.
The side door, the back door.
Yeah. We did so. It was like the stuff that we did. We were like Houdini, bro. It was like this epic stuff. Like DMs were there, and still managed to get out 40 pair of bread ones. Like stuff like that.
Wow.
Was like, that's yeah. I got some pictures, guys, that will blow your minds, man. After, you know, I'll send you some stuff and you guys check it out. You're like, wow, that's
that's wild.
It's some intense stuff. Yeah, so that's kind of like, you know, and then in with that, right, I would get a lot of stuff and I would hold other people down that couldn't get certain things that I got. And I would establish relationships like that as well. So now they had access to stuff that I couldn't get. And, you know, one hand washes the other. So it went that way. I still had my overseas connect. He was a solid plug for certain stuff. I met other people through Instagram, guys in Virginia, PA. I had some guys in Cali. Like it was, my network was really growing, you know, so I can pretty much like, if I'm looking for a shoe, I would put a post up and I can find that shoe because I would have a few people hit me up here and there. Oh, I got it. If a client needed it, you know, it's all about your network when it's reselling, mm-hmm. you know, and clientele.
I was gonna say there is so much to unpack here. I first of all want to say thank you for keeping it a buck with us, because I feel like everybody kind of knows stuff like that happens, but nobody really talks about it. But it's true, and I think like having honest conversations is what we like.
Yeah,
so
it's
I mean, but that's what the time was, right? And like it was before bots. It was before the whole sneakers app craze.
Oh yeah.
You know, I feel like we're constantly craving like that gilded age, right? Where you could wait online and still have a chance to actually get sneakers, right?
So yeah.
You might know some people, but I love that you talk about kind of the network that came into that and like how much really goes into reselling. When you started at first before, like, I know there was like Kixify way back in the day, but like, what was your platform? Was it all done through social, through text?
My platform was mostly Instagram at first. I created a page for the sneakers, What's on Your Feet. I don't know where I came up with that name. It just kind of like popped up and trying to get a sneaker name in. So I just said, you know, what's on your feet? That's kind of like a question that everyone's always asking, right? So why not make it the page? It just basically that and word of mouth. Like, you know, I would sell to people and they would spread the word. They would post it or they would shout me out. And just my clientele just kept growing and growing. And then, you know, other resellers saw that I had stuff they couldn't get. So I networked with them and they became one of my best friends now is like one of the biggest Supreme and sneaker resellers also in the community. I don't know if you know Soul Street. Mm-hmm. He's like someone that I met through selling sneakers through Instagram. And now we're like best friends.
Cool.
So, you know, and I've met a lot of great people. I've met a lot of, I know I don't want to curse, but yeah. Crappy people.
No, you're good. You know?
Shit. You can curse. Let it all
out. Okay. So shitty people. Yeah. All right. You know, like real shitty people. But you learn, you know, there's a whole lot that goes with the reselling aspect that people don't really see. Like, you know, I've been scammed, you know, several times. You learn and, you know, just keep on going. You know, you don't let none of that stuff hold you back. Like, of course, you're going to, you know, fall into like situations that are going to deter you from keep, you know, putting in all this money and stuff, but you know, I hung in there and it worked out.
So you mentioned clientele. You know, you got famous clientele. Like, where are you at with, like, how are you developing that whole process?
I haven't really sold to famous people. You know what I'm saying? Like, I've had a few people hit me up in that kind of world, but they want a hookup. They want free. They want this. They want that. And I've never been about that. You know, my clientele is basically like a lot is the hood. Like, I got a lot of clients that, you know, that I got a lot of guys that drug deal that buy for me. I got a lot of guys that, you know, I'm keeping it real. Like, they're hustlers. You know what I'm saying? Like, they pay cash. They pay well. You know what I'm saying? They buy a lot every release, every other release. They buy the good stuff. You know, like, they'll pay like $2,500 for a pair of Trav Highs. You know, like, and then they got the regular folk, the regular working folk that, you know, that's tired of hitting missing on a release, and they'll pay the extra $75 over retail, $80 over retail to secure their shoe. You know,
you raise your hand, me.
Yeah, raise your hand. You know,
I'm gonna get on that DM list right there. Yeah.
And the funny thing was, I was that person in the beginning as well.
Yeah.
Like, I bought a couple pair of shoes like that, you know, like, I forgot what shoe was that I bought. I was so mad about after like 3 months of resale. I'm like, damn, he charged me $350. Like, that's messed up, you know, like, and I ended up getting that guy back because he used to work with me. So I ended up getting him back, like, head cracking him down the road, you know. But, you know, that's just like, you know, it's just part of it, you know, like the clientele, it's just people who meet people, like, who see you buy from them. The trust is there. They recommend it. And I always say, if you do great business, more business comes. And I like to pride myself in doing amazing business. I've never scammed anybody. If by chance a person has gotten a fake from me, and it's happened maybe twice in my 7 years history of buying shoes, you know, I always do right by them. I replace it, money back, whatever. Because, you know, I can't catch every shoe. There's times where, like, you know, the person that sold to me, I got caught with a fake. And but I'm always careful with who I buy from. You know, I know, like, who I trust. And, you know, a couple of times people that I trust got caught on their end. And but I've always rectified the situation. You know, so it's like, as long as you do great business, you know, you're good in this industry. But if you're shady, it's kind of like, and some shady people do well, though. They still, you know, find their way to keep scamming, you know.
For sure. But you're not out here, you know, doing the whole 10, 15X thing. You're not really cracking people with the markup.
No. I mean, I try to, you know, we all know what drives the market these days, right? StockX drives the market. Mm-hmm. Like, that's the lowest place you could find any shoe, any platform for the most part. So I usually press the button and check what they're doing after they're shipping a tag. And that's kind of where I'm at. You know, some of them a little lower. If, you know, I might be a little higher sometimes. But like I said, I got clients that pay the high that are okay with it. Mm-hmm. Like the hustlers and stuff, they're okay with a little markup, but they just want their shoe, you know. And you know, here and there, I'll be a little lower, and you know, if I pay low enough, I go low, you know. But I get head cracked. I get charged $30, $40 over, $50 over sometimes, you know. Like like Mocha Ones, I was paying $400 a pair, you know, moving them for $450 or $350, moving for $450, you know, like, because, you know, my margins aren't as crazy as people may think, because they think I pay retail.
Right.
You know,
you don't pay retail. You pay resale as well.
No, yeah. I pay in between, because also the people that do hook me up, they also give me room to make money. No, they're not super greedy. I've met greedy people. Like, there are some greedy people. Like, I got a couple spots that I deal with still that they tend to get greedy, and I just say no. I'm like, I'm good, you know. Like, you can't charge me resale when I no one's make any money, you know. Like, so there's just so many different aspects of it, of the buying and selling. I got guys that run around the street all day that they'll go store to store and they'll pull like 20 pairs and they'll charge me like $40 over, just get that money back right away, and they'll make their quick $800. And I'll go and flip those for $60 on top of that, $100. I'll make my points on it, you know, because I have the clientele that'll pay. You know, they're looking at StockX payout. I'm looking at what it's going to cost you on StockX to buy.
Well, and then you get that hand delivery too, right? It's like the personal service versus
A lot of people like
Do you find that a lot of people want sneakers early? Is it like the early versus the hype? Like, I know that's always a balance, and I know you talk a little bit about kind of like the scalable, right? Like, some people want to pay that premium. Yeah. So you do that?
Yeah. So I get access to early pairs all the time, but of course there's a markup on it, and they understand that. And also, like I said, you look at StockX and whatever's going to cost you there, and you're going to get it now. You're not waiting a week and a half. You know what I'm saying? But that's the price. You know, like, for example, Playoff 12s that recently just released, are releasing soon. About 2-3 weeks ago, I got 224 pairs. And I was selling them at 375, 400. Because if you wanted it early, that was going to be the price. And I wasn't paying retail. I was paying close to like 300. So I still made my money. But if you wanted it early, you got it. Now, sometimes I get rid of all of them by the time release day comes. And sometimes I don't, you know. So by the time release day comes, I'll probably just get rid of them just to get my money back on them, or, you know, maybe tuck them away. If they're Jordan 1s, they get tucked, you know, especially they're solid Jordan 1s, you know. But yeah, like, you got people that want the early stuff, that want it first, you know, and, you know, I have the access to early. So, you know, I try to hold them down. And you got the release day people. I do pre-orders. Mm-hmm. So like they'll pay a lot, you know, they'll pay less. I'll kind of like guess what the market's going to be on release day around where it's going to be at. And that's where my price is at, you know, and sometimes it benefits. Sometimes the market goes higher and I keep that price. And other times it goes a little lower. And, you know, I've had people that flake or that say, oh, you know, I don't want them anymore, whatever. And once you flake, I don't really do business with you again. And if you want to do business, you got to pay in full, you know, cause I'm not like Houdini. I can't, like, you know, guess the market, like what's going to happen. You know, I'm trying my best to, like, you know, be fair on all levels, and of course make my money, because this is my full-time job. So but yeah,
so when you say, you know, how many if you're to guess to me, right, you're a businessman, how many hours a week you feel like you clock and put in doing this?
Well, I probably got it to the point where it's like a 40-hour work week. You know, in the beginning it used to be a lot more, like I would be out in the streets, camping out with my team overnight, the next day, go Friday into Saturday all day, then doing drop-offs all day, you know. I wasn't really shipping so much. I was doing more of a meetup thing. And now I'm more like on a 5-day work week, you know, 4 to 5 days, you know, 6 hours a day, running around doing drop-offs or shipping packages, or meeting connects to get shoes. I no longer live in the city anymore. I live up in Orange County now.
Okay.
So I'm about an hour away from my office in Yonkers.
Okay.
So, like, you know, try to make it back by the time my girls get out of school. Like, I'm a full-time dad. So it's like, when I say full-time dad, I mean, like, I love being a part of their lives. My wife, she's fully involved too, but I just like being there present, and also try to, you know, I do a good balance with everything now that I'm, like, you know, been like 7 years in this.
Yeah.
You know, but in the beginning it was like, I was like, Saturday and Sunday, bro, you didn't see me.
Dude, absolutely.
You didn't see me. I was out in the street trying to get shoes, lining up meetups, and then Monday through Friday, it was a balance, but, you know, it's been a fun ride.
So sorry, Gabs.
I was going to say, I feel like, I love that you've been doing this for a long time, because as sneakers, especially during this pandemic, have really switched to a lot of online consumption, I think you kind of got ahead of the curve, so you don't need to rely on that online space. How were things during the pandemic? Like, were they a little bit different? With business, I mean, I feel like business was popping because everyone had all this extra income.
Listen, let me tell you about the pandemic, okay? The pandemic probably was the best stretch of sneaker reselling for me in my history. Because, all right, when everything shut down, right, I had one of my suppliers, is another kid that I met through a shitty individual, but like through that shitty individual, I met great people. But that one person, he had a connect that had a chain of stores, and I would always buy bulk from him. When the pandemic shut down, no one could get shoes. It was like, there was only not a few people that were able to get that had spots, whatever. I was one of them that had a spot through him. So every release, I was buying like 200 pairs of shoes, and I was supplying resellers in New York City, like that, my friends. I was holding.
During the pandemic.
Huh?
You're the meme that we see of like the people that have walls of sneakers.
Yeah, probably. Yeah. Okay. They're made one of me, but like we were touching a lot of stuff, and I was holding down a lot of people. Like, there are a lot of people that will like, you know, they will say, oh, Manny held us down. Like, I've made some great relationships with those people, and then now they're all fine. Now they don't need me. They're good, because, you know, everything. But there was a 3-4 month stretch where, like, I was just holding everybody, and I was making some good money with that, because I was adding my points to it. Like, you know, I had 200 pairs of Flint 13s. I was keeping 50. I gave this kid 40, this kid 30, this kid 30. I added my points to those. So I was making already money on the 150 plus my orders. The pandemic was great. It was great for me.
I've been dealer, not just.
Yeah. I'm your plug. I was your plug.
I see you. Okay, go.
It was cool. But, you know, like, I never, like, it wasn't a thing like where I like threw it in their face or anything like that. It was more like of a mutual respect kind of thing. You know, like, it was just, holding down people that were in my community that were selling, you know. And yeah, I was helping the competition out, but I was the type to, like, I wanted to see everybody eat. I had the access, you know. I was still making money. Why not? Go ahead. Do your thing there. Do your thing there. You got it, you know.
There's plenty of pie out there for everybody to eat. So
Yeah.
So you're out here, you know, running a legitimate business. Are you seeing, I mean, obviously there's always changes happening, but how do you see, because Gabby and I talked about this earlier, this NFT wave and all this stuff, how do you see that potentially impacting sneaker biz? Or do you see it like, nah, I'm still going to be straight because people are still going to want their hard copy actual IRL sneakers? But do you see, like, the digital thing, like, kind of taking off a little bit and you're like, keep my eye on that?
So I have been keeping my eye on it. I'm not really, like, too versed into it. Mm-hmm. I have colleagues that I know really deal with that on a heavy scale. And I guess it depends on the generation, right? Like, this generation right now of younger kids that are getting into the whole NFT, and that group that keeps, like, as they get older, and then the older, like myself, mm-hmm. maybe a little younger than me, mm-hmm. start fading out. Mm-hmm. I feel like it might have an effect on the actual, you know, having the actual physical, like, to care enough to get the shoes like mm-hmm. that. Mm-hmm. But only time can really tell where mm-hmm. the NFT goes, you know, because, like, if you talk to some people, they'll tell you that it's a scam. NFT is a scam. Like, it's just like a, it's kind of like, you know, it's a picture. It's whatever. Mm-hmm. It's like a Ponzi scheme of some mm-hmm. kind, you know, like it's, and so it's just a matter of time. Only time can tell where that's going to go, mm-hmm. you know, but, you know, like, you have your collectors, man. They want their shoes there, you know, like myself.
They want them in their hands.
They want them in their hands. I got plenty of clients that want them on their hands, on their feet. They, you know, they don't care about NFTs, this and that. And it's, NFTs are very, it's you really gotta do your research and mm-hmm. homework to really get involved in that, because mm-hmm. there's a lot that goes with it. It's so confusing that I don't even have the time to even, like, to dive into that, because I'm busy with my other stuff, you know, with my kids and shoes that I have to deal and collect and sell, you know. So I give the props to everybody making money on it, you know. God bless everybody, you know. It's just, I just hope it doesn't bite them on the ass when it's all said and done, because I wouldn't be able to tell anyone what to do with it.
Yeah, we talked a little bit about this last week, just, but I think it's interesting, Jay, that you mentioned it in terms of, like, the resale space, right? Mm-hmm. Like, NFTs right now are trendy, so early adapters are all over it, but you're right, it's like the Wild West. Nobody knows what the value is. No place to display them. So once this metaverse kind of unfolds, like Ready Player One style, and people have, like, virtual sneaker closets and virtual meetups with work, and we're not, like, in the office anymore, I feel like we're very far away from that. But, like, I said to Jay last week, I feel like NBA 2K, when you buy sneakers from the virtual Foot Locker, like, that's what's going to be the direction that we're heading in. So very curious to see how that's going to affect the resale game in general.
Yeah, that does sound intriguing and interesting. It's just hard for me to imagine someone caring more about an actual NFT of a sneaker than the actual shoe. They're so beautiful. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like it's just like the smell, all that. There's so much that goes to like owning a shoe mm-hmm, that you first mm-hmm. get it. You all know the famous smell my shoe pick. You're like that. Yeah. That's like mm-hmm. that's the staple to like owning a shoe, you know, and then wearing it the way you want it, the laces the way you want it, all that. Like it's like. It's just like in society, what do we say too? Also, like, oh, I make shoe contact before eye contact if you're a sneakerhead, right? That's the first thing I do, right? Shoe contact. What you got on your feet, man? What you rocking?
I can't see what your NFT is. I don't know where that is.
Pull out your Coinbase wallet. Let me see what you got. You
know? Pull out your Coinbase wallet.
And make it rain like, Bitcoin, basically.
You know what I'm saying? Like, what you got? You got coin? You're wearing like Mario? It's still so new that we don't know where it's gonna go. Right. And you know, look, we could have this. We can look back at this video and you could see 10 years later. I'm like, damn, like we, you know, back then was that. Look at it is now. Like mm-hmm. there's a whole metaverse. People mm-hmm. don't even go to work anymore. They're in virtual rooms all day. And mm-hmm. you know, and then like that. But that's gonna disconnect the world, man. Like I just feel like it's gonna be a huge disconnect, because like there's nothing more like solid than basic like person to person.
For sure.
You know, communication, like in person, you know, like where you feel the vibe, you feel mm-hmm. the energy, like, mm-hmm. you know, can you really do that? You know, like if you're always virtual with somebody,
Can't feel, feel the vibes in the metaverse, friends. Ain't no vibes there. No vibes in the metaverse.
No vibes. There's no, like, you know, can you tell somebody sweating? Can you tell somebody, you know, like, none of that.
Yeah.
I hope freaking sweating in the metaverse. I mean, I hope nobody can tell them sweating in the metaverse.
All right, folks, stay tuned, because coming up next, I know Manny's going to have some serious heat for us to see in America's Favorite Segment, Shoe and Tell. So don't go anywhere.
I got some stuff, yeah.
What's up, y'all? We are back. You know what time it is. America's Favorite Segment, Shoe and Tell, presented by Another Lane, the premier digital marketplace for dope kicks. All right, Manny. Listen, man, you the man out here. You got all these connects, whatever. So show us what you got. What's the heat you got to show us?
What do you want me to start with?
Whatever you want. It's your show.
You want grails?
Whatever you want. It's your show.
So we're going to go with probably like the most expensive sneaker I own. Like, and like, you know, this is a shoe that people just dream of having, right? Like, that's not fair. I know.
I'm out.
I haven't worn it yet. That's the thing. Like, so I got this.
I don't blame you.
Listen, my sister-in-law, like back when I first started, when these came out, obviously, I had my family members do raffles all the time. My wife, my sisters, my sister-in-law, my brother-in-law, all of them do raffles. And one of my family members hit Kith for this.
Hit on that?
Yes, what? At Kith, got the email for 9.5. I swapped it for my 10. I paid retail and gave her $300. She was happy as all hell for $300.
I mean, you know what the resale on that shoe is right now.
That's your daughter's college right there.
When it happened, they were going for $1,000. So to be fair with that. So I got it and I was like, no, I want to wait to wear it, right? I'm not going to wait. And as I kept waiting, price kept going up. And now it's like a $10,000 shoe or close to it, right? Like eight, this is a size 10, so you could do the math, like go and start whatever. And so this is like, I'm never going to wear it. It's a rainy day fun type shoe. Mm-hmm. Like, you know, to the point kids need college money or whatever, I'll sell it, get some money for it. And that's... Mm-hmm. And then another one similar to that, of course, is this, the Jordan 1 Frag.
Oh, yeah.
Another steal I got for another steal.
Ugh.
Yeah, this one also is like another five. I traded it for Adidas NMD, the Bape ones, and 500 cash for these.
Okay.
And so my cost was, this was in the thousands. And I was like, that was a no-brainer for me. I'm like, I'll do it. So... These are like my two, like my girls, my babies. Like, you know, like they're just like, you know, like I look at them because they're nice. I can't wear them because they're too expensive. My wife will kill me. Like, you know, if she knew what these go for, she'd be like, what? And you have it there. Why?
Does she know? Is she like into sneakers like that?
No, not really. But she has an idea when she thinks my collection is worth like hundreds of thousands of dollars. Right. But it's more like in like, you know, because I have a bunch of stuff like this. I have Soulfly ones. I have Trav Mochas, Trav Low. Like, you do the math, I have a good amount.
Mm-hmm,
but she doesn't have the exact number on it. You know what I'm saying? But if I told her this one's worth eight, she's, you know, the second like she is the fan, she's taking that shit and going to find a resale. Hey, give me my money. I know this is money.
Cartier love bracelet with the diamonds.
I love it.
All right, so those are my two grails. Mm-hmm. Now, two of my favorite. Now, I'm a Jordan 1 guy. I love Jordan 1s. Right. So the Shatter backboard.
Mm-hmm.
The first original Shatter backboard is one of my favorite Jordan 1s. It's not an original colorway, obviously, but I have two pairs. I have a dead stock pair and this one that I wear occasionally. It's just a great the quality on it, all that. Like the off-white right here, and then it's just the leather. It's just a great shoe. And it was also one of the shoes I paid so much money for resale when they first came out. Like, I got like 16 pairs early for $450 a pop.
Whoa.
And sold one for $700, and then the rest were like had to sit there until they went back up. Mm-hmm. You know, but there was that. But this is a great Jordan one. Like, it's an amazing. And then my favorite that I wear, that people love, that when I wear, they're like, oh my god, that shoe looks so amazing.
Mm-hmm.
The way you're wearing it is my 2015 Chicago one.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's so beat up. It is so beat up, and I still rock it like occasionally. And people love that, the beat up look of this Chicago one.
It wears well though.
Yeah,
It really does. But this is like I didn't really clean it. I just, you know, I wear it all the time. It was like when I was reselling hard in 2015, I was wearing this every day, like all the time.
That's
I love the
shred right there. If like I'm like, I want to buy sneakers from a dealer, I want him wearing heat like that.
Yeah. And this is just like my best friend. Every time I wear, he's like, oh my god, bro, I love the way that looks. That aged look is amazing, you know? And, you know, like, and I have a desktop pair too, but you know what those are going for now again. Mm-hmm. They're going for like almost 2,000 now.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So I can't really rock the new one just to be fresh. I got to still rock the beat up one. And I'm still looking fresh. You know, it's like, you know, and yeah, I mean, that's those are like my four, I guess I'll say fair. I got, you know, my Trav Mocha Highs are also one of my favorite shoes because it was a shoe that I went viral for in 2019 when they came out.
Mm-hmm.
I was able to get like 75 pairs, and that's a crazy pick. And like no one's getting 75 pairs of Mocha Trav Highs.
Oh, listen, man.
It was
insane. Like the feedback I got off that, I was like, I never ever saw anything like that. I was like everybody was reporting. I was like, what is going on here? My wife was like, oh my God, all this hate in these comments. You got to be careful. People are like cursing you out and this and that. And I'm like, it's just Instagram, babe. You're fine. Don't worry. Nothing's going to happen. We're straight.
Instagram. It's not real life.
You know, like they're just mad. You know, they're just trolls. You know, like I saw that guy on the street the other day. And we were good. You know, like, he's just, you know, like it was, but that also is one of the shoes that, like, you know, that I covet in my collection.
That's dope,
and,
man.
And I got a bunch of GRs, you know, like everybody else. Like, I love, you know, freaking, I'm a Cement 3. I love Cement 3s, Red 4s.
I'd say,
like,
what's your go-to rotation currently, like, aside from those Chicago's?
So right now, it depends. Like, I wear my Cement 3s here and there. My Mocha 1s I wear here and there. Like, surprisingly, I've been wearing my Fire Red 4s here and there, too. Like, I like the white, red, and black. You know, it's a nice, clean colorway. I used to really like Yeezys a lot when Yeezys were really hyped,
mm-hmm.
but that died. But I have like Turtle Doves that are there, Black Static 3Fit. Like, I have a lot of good Yeezys too, but I don't ever wear them anymore. I feel like the hype is... my Wave Runners are comfortable enough where I would rock them on a regular basis too.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they're re-releasing so good. If you need a, you need a pair, I got you, man. You need a pair, I got you.
I will hit
you. Manny, this is awesome, man.
Yeah.
Tell the people where they can find you.
So my Instagram is at What's On Your Feet. You know, like I said, you could, if you need a shoe, looking for a shoe, you could DM me and hey, can you find the shoe for me in a certain size? And I would say about 75% of the time I could locate it within there too, and try to do good numbers and stuff. Okay. And, you know, I'm only on Instagram right now. I'm looking to like start a website soon, maybe, kind of got to expand and, you know, that's basically it.
You've grown. Yeah. Well, this has been a pleasure, man. We got a real education into how this part of reselling works.
Yeah.
And folks, you know where to find us. We are part of the Count the Dings family. You can find us on that Bomb Podcast feed with Rue's Kitchen, Woke Bros, Original Bomb Show, Crypto Bros, all that. We are at Kicks and Shit Show on all social media platforms. Until next time, peace.
Peace, everybody.
Our kids have said to us since we've moved to Minnesota, we are far more active than we've ever been anywhere else we've ever lived.
Moving to Minnesota opened up a lot of doors for us.
Just this overall sense of community, of values that, you know, Minnesotans have.
It's a real accepting, loving community, especially with two young kids.
See what makes Minnesota the star of the North. New residents share why they love calling it home at exploreminnesota.com/live.
Our kids have said to us since we've moved to Minnesota, we are far more active than we've ever been anywhere else we've ever lived.
Moving to Minnesota opened up a lot of doors for us.
Just this overall sense of community, of values that, you know, Minnesotans have.
It's a real accepting, loving community, especially with two young kids.
See what makes Minnesota the star of the North. New residents share why they love calling it home at exploreminnesota.com/live.
Our kids have said to us since we've moved to Minnesota, we are far more active than we've ever been anywhere else we've ever lived.
Moving to Minnesota opened up a lot of doors for us.
Just this overall sense of community, of values that, you know, Minnesotans have.
It's a real accepting, loving community, especially with two young kids.
See what makes Minnesota the star of the North. New residents share why they love calling it home at exploreminnesota.com/live.
Our kids have said to us since we've moved to Minnesota, we are far more active than we've ever been anywhere else we've ever lived.
Moving to Minnesota opened up a lot of doors for us.
Just this overall sense of community, of values that, you know, Minnesotans have.
It's a real accepting, loving community, especially with two young kids.
See what makes Minnesota the Star of the North. New residents share why they love calling it home at exploreminnesota.com/live.